Wait a minute. Now we'll go ahead.
Now, good morning, everybody. It is April the 6th, and this is a hearing.
Hello?
This is a hearing for the Community College and Workforce Development, and we are the Education Subcommittee of Ways and Means. I am Senator Rod Monroe, been an educator all my life. Other co-chair, Representative Betty Comp, been an educator all her life, so, and other members. So we're here to hear from you, and we're going to call first.
Just for procedures, we're going to limit to 2 minutes today just because we have over 40 people on these lists here, and I think there's at least more out there. Given that number, I don't think we'll get to everyone. Our procedure will be to take some people off the first page and then jump to those that have come from 100 miles or more, which is standard procedure for the legislature, and we will make time available at some other day here in the next week or two for public testimony if need be, and we'll announce on that when that time comes. So I'll, do you want me to call up the panel?
Yeah, why don't you
okay,
go
so
ahead.
I'll call up the panel.
Yes, Mr. Wilson, we might also suggest that if there are people that live here in the Salem area, and it's really easy to get here if your schedule allows that, so that if you could come on a second day, if you'd let our staff person know, that would help us out so that we get everybody that has come a strong distance.
And I will use a stoplight, so if you see a red light come on at 2 minutes, please wrap up quickly. And I will apologize beforehand on pronunciation and names, or not being able to read your writing for that matter. So we'll start off three at a time and 2 minutes. Mary Ann Pandornas, Paula Lazazlos, and Justin Warren. Please come up. And go ahead and start. And on deck will be Mike Jones, Sky Troy, and Dustin, I believe it's Treel. I'm sure that's wrong, though, for my spelling here.
Good morning. Go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Chair Comp and Co-Chair Monroe and members of the committee. My name is Paola Gonzalez, and I'm a student at Lynn Benton Community College, the student body president-elect for the upcoming year, and a resident of Lynn County. Thank you for the opportunity to testify in front of you all today. I would like to speak to you on behalf of the Oregon Student Association in support of an increase to the Community College Support Fund to $560 million. I'd like for you to imagine a life that is riddled with disadvantages as a person who's lived in poverty, as a minority. And the only way to fight these challenges is a system known as education, a system that is becoming more and more unattainable as tuition increases. And what I'm like, when scholarships and financial aid and having a part-time job isn't enough, and then switching to a community college, Lynn Benton Community College, in order to be able to afford community college, that is enough. It's just not enough. And I have done everything in my power to be able to afford college. I have a part-time job. I have worked for scholarships and grants, and I've had financial aid. But as tuition increases, I just can't afford it. And I'm not the only one. All the students here you see are here fighting for the opportunity to have their right to education. And I ask you to please, please increase the state fund to 560 so that we have our right to education. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Co-Chair Comp, Co-Chair Monroe, and members of the committee. My name is Mariana Sofia Peridones, and I'm here today with the Oregon Student Association. I'm also a full-time student at Lane Community College. You see me today in my cap and gown before you, but I'm afraid that I'm not going to get this far. I started attending Lane Community College last spring, and I was really excited. Obviously, not everyone's first choice is a community college, but for me, it was a more affordable and accessible option, especially because if I'm trying to get to university and then if I'm trying to go into my law degree, I need to save up as much money as possible. However, like, since I've been at Lane Community College, I've already spent $6,000 out of pocket. I don't qualify for financial aid, so literally every single dollar that comes my way goes straight into community college. My parents have to pay for my tuition because I can't afford to, like, pay that much money. But I also have four other siblings that are trying to go to community or that are trying to go to college. I have one sister graduating this year, and she's trying to go to Oregon State University. And we're trying to do everything we can to make sure that this is a feasible, like, future for her. I worry about my future all the time. I fear that I won't graduate and will be financially incapable of continuing because community college is so expensive. Again, I have spent $6,000 at a community college for three terms. This is expensive. That's just my tuition. That's not even saying, like, the cost of the books, the cost of living. Like, my parents have to, like, sustain a household with six people, and I'm a financial burden to my parents. And this is a story of not just me, but several other students. With enrollment rates down and tuition increasing year after year, it's not surprising that this is a direct result of disinvestment of two community colleges. Community colleges were designed to be accessible and unaffordable, and I'm disgusted that this is not the case. I am disgusted that I know 10 people that have dropped this term because they had to choose between paying rent and food and going to school. I urge this committee to rethink where their priorities lie and invest into the futures of future students. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank both of you. And Mr. Wilson, who's next?
Was there a Justin Warren? Okay, so then it's Mike Jones, Sky, Troy, and Dustin. I'm not sure, Treel or something close to Therese. Okay. And on deck will be Manuel Gonzalez, Christian Mello, and I believe it's Candy Lynn Johnson on deck.
Okay, go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, co-chairs Comp and Monroe and members of the committee. My name is Michael Jones. I'm a student at Lynn Benton Community College who was born and raised right here in Oregon. And today I would like to speak to you on behalf of the Oregon Student Association and community colleges across the state. Today I would like to ask you to support the Community College Support Fund at $560 million. So I began college right after high school, and unfortunately due to my parents' income level, I didn't qualify for virtually any financial aid, just loans. Because of this, I was forced to work a full-time job to make ends meet and was only able to attend school part-time. Later that year, my first year in college, I found myself working two jobs and was still barely able to make ends meet. Later, I was offered another position, my third job, at student government on campus. With a combination of these three jobs and going to school full-time now, I spent around 12 hours per week in class, 24 hours per week studying and doing homework, and 34 hours per week working my three part-time jobs. A total of 70 hours per week dedicated to just work and school, simply to make ends meet and be able to afford to keep the lights on and food in my belly. Currently, LBCC's tuition is set to increase by 2.5% over the next 2 years, which means 2.5 for both years. After the increase, students will be paying more than $300 extra over the course of an entire year's tuition at LBCC. And this is essentially the cost of almost an entire extra credit, and for a lot of students is going to be the difference between the gas bill, the water bill, or the electricity bill, or simply food on their plate. Fortunately, though, this does not need to be the case. After a conversation that we've had with both the president and the Board of Education, they've agreed that this tuition increase is solely because of a lack of state funding, and have stated that if an increase of state funding were to occur, these tuition increases would no longer be necessary and could be removed. Co-chairs Comp, Monroe, and members of the committee, no student should have to choose between the water bill or the electricity bill for 1 or 2 months out of a given term. No student should have to pay for the cost of a credit or a course that they're not receiving, but most of all, no student should have to make these choices because of a lack of state funding. Please support the Community College Support Fund at $560 million. Please reinvest in higher education and help us get to graduation. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, ma'am.
Co-chairs Monroe, Comp, my name is Sky Troy. I am a student at Mount Hood Community College, and today I am here with the Oregon Community College Student Association in order to urge you all to prioritize funding for community colleges at $560 million this coming biennium. My experience that I'm going to share today is similar for all of the students who can identify the financial burdens of community college. I was raised by a single mother who worked 2 to 3 jobs at a time, 7 days a week, and could still barely manage to put food on the table. And this is why I am here as a first-generation college student to share my experience. By the age of 16 years old, I was already working part-time, and I then journeyed to Oregon to pursue my dreams of higher education. So, but during my second year of college, I saw my financial aid money cut directly in half. In order to survive, I knew I had to work more. Since then, I became part of the student government, and I worked 20 to 30 hours a week at Red Lobster while going to school full time. Now, I know that this is a similar experience that many of my classmates and friends can also identify with. It's hard to balance education and work as an individual and not drowning and keeping my head above water and not drowning in education-related debt. And that's why I'm concerned that if we face another round of tuition increases or tuition spikes, we are going to be priced out of our education, and that is a fact. Because personally, I don't have the capacity to work more hours to pay for education-related expenses, as I know many of my peers face that same battle as well. So this should be affordable for everyone, and while I am dedicated to obtaining my degree, my time is demanded for working in order to pay for education-related expenses to survive in hopes of one day succeeding. And this is why I'm urging you all to prioritize funding for community colleges, which is vital to the success of over 300,000 community students across the state of Oregon. So thank you all for letting me speak to a matter close to my heart.
Thank you.
Hi, members of the board. My name is Dustin Treese, and I'm with the Oregon Community College Association. I go to school just down the street at Chemeketa Community College. I'm a student who believes in education. I really think it's the single greatest opportunity that people have to be able to raise their standing in life and be able to make something better of themselves in society. I'm a student who goes to school, taking up to 23 credits sometimes and working 2 jobs. I'm a student who's on the dean's list. I'm a physics major. I want to become a community college or university professor someday. All this has come as a huge surprise to my parents, neither of which who have received a college degree. My mom's disabled and my parents are divorced, so I don't get any help from my parents to pay for college. We really struggled to get by just when I was finishing high school. We got by on my mom's Social Security and child support and other programs like EBT. That was the reason why I decided to attend community college, because community college was for students like me, students who didn't have who had big dreams but didn't have the resources to start chasing them with. Except now that I'm going to college, I'm finding that it takes more and more resources to be able to go there each term. I'm a recipient of the Max Award of the Pell Grant, Stafford Loans, and last year I was even one of the lucky ones who got to get the Oregon Opportunity Grant. I'm really extremely fortunate to have these programs that help pay for a large cost of my education. However, I still have to struggle paying for a large portion of my college funds. As much aid as I do receive, it all disappears really, really quickly when I'm buying $200+ math and science textbooks each term. I'm working so hard to make this work. I'm really one of the fortunate ones just to make it by. Students, many of my friends are going hungry waiting for their classes because they can't afford to buy food because their aid's been bled dry by the cost of attending college. Going to school this term, I'm missing many of my friends entirely because their funds ran out and they don't have enough money to be able to attend spring term. This is all at a community college, one of the ones that has one of the lowest tuition rates in the entire state. This isn't stopping. It's only getting worse. I sit at the student government at my college, and I know that our Board of Education plans to raise tuition if they don't get enough state funding. They have like a plan set out, so if they, however much they receive, tuition might go up. That's why I'm here asking you to make community college more accessible for students like me and students all across Oregon by allocating $560 million to community colleges this next biennium. Thank you.
Thanks, all of you.
Okay, the next panel is Manuel Gonzalez, Christian Mello, and Candy Lynn Johnson. And on deck, I'm going to try to take Curtis Cower, Charles Stewart, and Max Jensen.
Good
Good morning. Ladies first.
Oh, thanks. All right. I'm not sure how close to sit.
You're about a foot away. You're perfect.
Okay, am I good? All right. Good morning, co-chairs Comp and Monroe and members of the committee. Thank you for hearing my testimony. My name is Candolyn Johnson. I'm from Sweet Home, Oregon. I am a first-generation college student at Lynn Benton Community College. I'm here to talk to you today about community college funding. I live in a family of six. Both of my parents have decided to go back to school with me because they found it necessary in order to support our family and ensure a better future for us all, especially with my sister being mentally disabled. In order to feed my family and keep food on the table and pay the rent, I've had to stay home with all of us taking out the maximum amount of loans possible. Along with that, I've had to work two part-time jobs, work with the student government, and apply for scholarships. My family barely scrapes by as is, and I want to move out, but I feel the pressure at staying at home in order to help take care of my family. The thought of moving out hurts me. I want to start my own future. I want to feel independent, but family has always come first to me. It's always a moral value that I've always held true. And so it's very hard for me to make that hard decision. My story is not unique. There are lots of large families who have had to go back to school in order to keep a future for themselves. Students in our families are going to desperate measures to stay afloat and school in hopes that college will get us out of financial insecurity. If funding doesn't increase, community colleges all across Oregon are talking about tuition increases, which is going to come directly out of student pockets. In order to keep families, struggling families like me, making it harder for them to go back to college, we are asking, the Oregon Student Association is asking for $560 million in community college funding. Reinvest in education, help us get to graduation. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Co-Chair Monroe, and members of the committee. My name is Manuel Mejia Gonzalez, and I am the Multicultural Programs Coordinator with the Associated Students of Lynn Community College, as well as an OSA board member. I am here today to ask you to restore funding in our community colleges. A post-secondary education has changed my life, and at the end of this term, I will become the first in my family to graduate from an institution of higher learning. Like all students, I have dreams. I plan to graduate and further improve my community to the best that I can be, and dreams to help folks that who like me overcome less privileged lives. After I graduate with a PhD in psychology, I want to come back to Lynn Community College and be a professor. College isn't something that my friends are thinking is an option for them. Now, why is that so? Price. Solely price. I could not even convince my own sister to attend Lynn Community College. I cannot afford it, Manuel. Please stop. She would tell me. We were those kids who would compete to bring the highest grades in order to make our mother proud. We wanted to let our mother know that we were grateful and that we admired her for leaving everything behind to take us to the land of opportunity. My sister cannot currently afford that opportunity. Today, I can barely help my mother pay for anything, as this term alone, not including books and other expenses, is costing me $1,900.35. My school is one of the most expensive community colleges in the state of Oregon, with $98 per credit, a price which removes my sister's and many Oregonians' opportunities to expand their education. The American dream is one when the people are allowed to pursue happiness. But today, although many Oregonians would love to attend our community colleges, many, like my sister, cannot simply afford it. Thank you very much for your time and opportunity, and the opportunity to present my testimony. I respectfully ask the committee to remember my story and reinvest in education to help us get to graduation.
Thank you.
co-chairs Comp in Monroe, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Christian Mello, and I'm a first-generation student at Lane Community College, as well as a member of the Oregon Student Association. And I'm here to support increasing the budgets for Oregon's community colleges. When I entered college in fall 2008, my family was able to help pay for the first two terms of college before I was able to navigate the maze of financial aid and the FAFSA. College was quite a bit more affordable at the time, as tuition was about $75.50 a credit. Money got tight, though, and family support had to be pulled back, so I was able to qualify for the federal Pell Grant and the Oregon Opportunity Grant in the 2009-2010 year. Due to some life issues I had at the time, including severe depression that trounced my grades and made it hard to get up in the morning, I needed to drop out from school for 2 years. I wasn't able to come back to college until fall 2012. Tuition by then had raised to $90 a credit, and I was faced with quite a surprising new problem. Financial aid wouldn't fund me to stay in community college. I was informed that based on my past records, the college projected that I wouldn't get my degree within my credit limit for the Pell Grant, so no financial aid. I was forced to work extremely hard to pay out of pocket for school for an entire year. It took an extraordinary amount of work, but I found a way out of my situation once I had achieved enough of a GPA to actually get it done. I dual enrolled with Oregon State University. In doing this, Oregon State became my financial aid center, and I was able to raise my credit limit to bachelor's degree level, ensuring that I'd have a way to pay for school until I made the full transfer. So after all this work, all this struggle, what was the price I had to pay to make sure I would have a chance of making my life better? After some calculation, the amount I've spent, including tuition, books, and supplies, totals to around $24,600, and financial aids only covered a total of 59% of my education. I was able to stay out of loans while living in near poverty, and I'm at a loan debt, luckily, of about $3,300. So, in the end, while people aren't as lucky as I am, I urge the state to support higher budget for community colleges to the total of $550 million and to reinvest in education. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, all of you. Who's the next panel?
We have some people that aren't here yet, at least some, a couple coming from Ben, so these names may be slightly different than before. Charles Stewart, Anita Darko, and Ashley Jackson. And after this panel, I'm going to jump to the 100 miles or more and then come back to the same order. So, which means on deck is Scott Perry and Jim Fong.
Welcome.
Go ahead. Co-chairs Monroe and Comp and members of the committee. Hello, my name is Anita Parko. I am with Oregon Community College Student Association. I am a second year student at Mount Hood Community College. I am studying mathematics in the hope of becoming an actuary. This is a small field of work, but highly skilled, which Oregon is thriving for. I am 24 years old and live with my mother. Growing up raised by a single parent was not easy, thus continued in my pursuit of a college degree. My mother cannot help me with the cost of tuition, fees, books, and other supplies needed for college. She helps me in the main ways she can, by reducing living costs. I would love to help financially, however, the intensity of my program of study has limited my free time, therefore limiting my ability to get a job and be successful in school. If I were to go to school part-time in order to seek work, it would take me much longer to complete my degree. The primary way I am able to pay for school is through loans. As you can imagine, the longer I'm in school, the more interest and debt I will owe. Every time we see the tuition increase, the amount I owe gets larger. Currently, I have $18,550 in student debt. Sometimes I doubt the decision to be the first in my family to go to college. I know that my education will pay off by affording me good job opportunities. However, I don't know if that will be enough to keep up with my student loans that are increasing every year with the rising cost of tuition. I'm asking you to fund community college at $560 million so that students like myself don't continue to be burdened by the cost of rising tuition. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Charles Stewart. Very good to meet y'all and see y'all today. I am asking y'all to reinvest in funding for college. Why? Because I'm 38 years old. I have two grandkids. I have a wife. I have two daughters, an 18-year-old and a 20-year-old. I'm fresh out of prison. I did 5 years feds, and then I had an 8-month break, and ended up doing 13 more. I am a survivor. I am a fighter. Right now, I run a business, a promotion business that I started in the penitentiary. I'm going to college right now for business management, full time. I take care of my entire family. It takes a village to raise a child, and it takes a community, a full community, to raise a man and a woman. I have figured this out. And right now, as I'm going to college, I am struggling when it comes to money. Now, when I start my business and I run it, by the time I'm done with college and I graduate, I won't make any money. I won't be able to raise my family. I won't be able to take care of my family and my community, because I'll be so far in debt, whatever money I do make, it'll be going back to my loans. So I am begging y'all, for people like me. I have a lot of young brothers of all different races that are coming out to penitentiary that I mentor, and I tell, get in college. And you know what they say? They say, I can't get in college. I don't have the money to get in college. Oh, I'm not trying to have debts. We really need y'all to reinvest in higher education, because it is a must for people like me to change our lives, to become members of society. I used to sell drugs back in the days. I'm done with that now. I did my time. I am here trying to change my life. And the more money we spend when it comes to loans, the more I have my younger brothers and sisters sit back and say those same things. I can't afford college. So please, I am begging every last one of y'all, reinvest in higher education and help the community so we can become a part of this community and help the younger people become full members of society. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Ashley Jackson. Thank you very much, Representative Compton, Senator Monroe, and members of the committee. I am the vice president at Lane Community College and a student. I've been there for 2 years. And today I'm here to tell you that I'm the fifth generation of women in my family to have children before they were 16 years old. High school graduation was a miracle. College was not even something that was in the cards for us. I was the oldest of five growing up, raised by a single mom. And as a first generation student and a single mother of two children, I can tell you that I don't want to take EBT and TANF my whole life. I started college so that I could rise out of poverty and I could deliver my family from a life of starvation. At the end of every term, my phone gets shut off. I can't even do a load of laundry that costs $3. And I stop eating so that my kids can eat. That's how important getting an education is to me, that I'm willing to starve for it, because it's better than earning a starving wage for the rest of my life as I work away my children's childhood at a dead-end job. The only way to get a job that's fulfilling and that can pay me a living wage is by getting an education. You know that. That's why you're sitting where you are. I'm asking you today to reinvest in higher education. Help us get to graduation. Don't abandon us halfway there. Reinvest at $560 million. Collectively, the students in Oregon at community colleges owe $307,626,577. That's too much. We need you to reinvest in higher education at $560 million to buy down tuition. Our community colleges are in crisis, and we can't keep on like this. By 2036, with the trends that are happening at state funding, we will be at $0 state investment. This is our debt.
Thank you so much. Okay.
The next panel is Scott Perry, Jim Fong, and if Paula Andrews, why don't you also come up? And then on deck, I'm sure, Bill Rochhalt, Rusty Cochran and Todd, and I'm not sure, I can't read the last name, but with that same panel with Bill and Rusty.
And ladies and gentlemen, thank you. You've made your point. Please be seated.
Go ahead, Scott.
Senator Monroe, Representative.
Seated.
Want him to go full startup.
We're not going to continue until you sit down, please.
Senator Monroe, Representative Comp, and members of the committee. My name is Scott Perry. I'm the superintendent of Southern Oregon Education Service District and appreciate the opportunity to speak with you. Switching gears just a little bit, we're here talking in support of the Center for Community Innovation and the Community Leverage Fund, budget items that have been supported out of the governor's office. In Southern Oregon, we have really 4 years ago, a number of us began talking about if we're really serious about reaching 40-40-20 in the education world, we really need to come together, not just as school districts, but with the larger community. And we started something called Southern Oregon Success. Southern Oregon Success really looks at how can we as community folks and school districts and higher education all come together in behalf of children from preschool all the way through college. And so we started meeting. Now we've got over 40 agencies, higher education entities, and education folks coming together on a monthly basis looking at specific metrics. How can we move together and make this kind of progress? One of the things I'd just like to feature as an example, focused on from the getting students from K-12 to higher education. We identified the strategies that are effective in high schools, moving students from K-12 to higher education. And then we went out and we interviewed every single high school, spent time in every single high school in our region, and identified what they have that's strong, what they have that's weak. And we identified ways that we could strengthen our region and help all of the high schools. We also learned of a school district in Texas of 32,000 students. 99% Hispanic, 89% poverty, and yet they've been able to move their graduation rate from 62% in 2007 to over 90% now. With most students who graduate, they have significant college credit. Almost 8% of them graduated with as well as a diploma. They had an associate's degree, and so we're moving to replicate the things that we saw in Texas. 21 of us went down to Texas and studied that system. We need support for this community work, and so that's why we're supporting this. And I'd like to have Jim Fong take over from here.
Representative Comp, Senator Monroe, members of the committee, my name is Jim Fong. I'm the executive director for the Rogue Workforce Partnership, or the region's Workforce Investment Board for Jackson-Josephine County. Testifying with Scott here today in support of the Community Innovation and the Community Leverage Fund. Also want to put in a plug for the $31.9 million of the workforce system investment that's in front of your committee. They're linked together for us. Just to follow up on what Scott was saying, the picture you have in front of us is a system picture of the Southern Oregon Success work we're doing. On the back page is just a high-level community dashboard set of metrics that are driving us. We are bringing together the healthcare folks, the CCOs, education, higher education, business, social services together to work on these as common measures. The CCOs literally said to us their highest priority metric is truancy, which is a great crossover partnership in our work together. The collaborative is really working at all levels, frontline staff, teachers, principals, superintendents, presidents of our higher institutions, all with our business community, with our workforce partners. We're working together to align the system, change the lives individually. The colleges and career partnership you see, the College for All partnership that we're doing with Texas. You can see on the back page of this letter that we submitted to you from our workforce board, some of the metrics we're focusing on it is replicating this graduation rate improvement. We want to go from the mid-60s to the 90%, as well as all the other STEM, career-related learning, CTE revitalization work, all encompassing as part of that kind of work. So we are working this. We need the help and support from the committee for these investments to be allow us to make progress on these efforts. Just a quick anecdotal story, some examples of some of the work we already started doing. On this letter, you'll see some of our intensive partnerships. We worked with 23 high-risk kids already and leveraged $522,000 of scholarship. These are kids would have dropped out if not for these kinds of partnerships. Another example to me is that we are changing lives through our career-related learning experiences, working with businesses in our traded sector strategies, which are high priority for economic development, exposing young adults as well as their parents and teachers to careers that they did not know about in the community. That's part of the work that these investments will allow us to do. And finally, Central Medford High School, high-risk alternative school, high dropout rate. Just in the last year or so, we have doubled the graduation rate from 9% to 18% from this kind of intensive partnership work. So these are the kinds of things we can do more of to get to the 40-40-20 goal if we can get the kind of investment from you all in these regards. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Mr. Wilson, who's next?
Paul Andrews. And then on deck was Todd, not sure, Bill Rochalt, and Rusty Cochran.
Welcome.
Thank you. Good morning, Senator Monroe, Representative Comp, members of the committee, especially Representative Huffman. Nice to see you. My name is Paul Andrews. I'm the Deputy Superintendent for High Desert Education Service District in Central Oregon, and I'm also here to speak in support of the Center for Community Innovation and the Community Leverage Funds. What's being handed out to you right now is the work that we're doing in Central Oregon that is looking at our cradle-to-career initiatives. We call it Better Together. And what I wanted to point out to you is we've been working on this for about 2 years now. And on this sheet that we passed out, these are the four work groups that we have been focusing on that came from grassroots. This isn't just K-12. This isn't just higher ed. This is the business community. This is the nonprofit sector. This is government coming together, talking about how do we ensure that all children in our region reach higher education and success at that point. We're very proud of the work we're doing so far, and that grassroots effort on the back page leads to 25 indicators that we're holding ourselves accountable to. These are what we believe are the needles that need to be moved on the dial that will get us to that success, get us to that point of all children graduating from high school, getting to that 40-40-20 P20 vision. Toward that end, we just a month or so ago published our baseline report. This is how we're doing on all 25 of those outcomes, those indicators, at this point in time. It's a baseline report. Some of it is, frankly, not all that flattering. It's where we need to do our work. In order to do that work, we need your help. We are right now finding ways to be lean and efficient. We this year had a one-year VISTA volunteer helping us with our 8+9 program, which is for eighth graders moving into ninth grade. Next year, we've been approved to have 4 3-year VISTA volunteers. So we're trying to find ways to make this work very efficiently, but we still need your help. In order to have that backbone, in order to have the finances and the resources for all of these initiatives, the Center for Community Innovation, the Community Leverage Fund, the RAC funding that's in the OEIB budget, those will all help us to continue this work. So that's why I drove 2.5 hours for a 2-minute testimony, is to let you know that we are very committed to this work, we're very proud of this work, but we continue to need your help. Thank you very much.
Thanks for coming. Mr. Wilson?
Todd, Bill, and Rusty. And then on deck is Greg Shamoff, Andy Mingo, and Peter Lunch.
Senator Monroe, Senator Comp, or Representative Comp, co-chairs. Thanks for having me here today. My name is Todd Edmond. I'm the incoming chair for the Lane Workforce Partnership, and I'm also the CEO of a software company called Lunar Logic based in Eugene. And today I'm here to talk about an easy story. A lot of the stories you've heard today have been difficult. My story is much easier. I started working with the Workforce Investment Board a number of years ago through the on-the-job training program. the on-the-job training program. At the time, I had 8 employees, and it allowed me to hire 3 more. It was an additional risk coming out of the difficult economy for me to hire additional staff. This program encouraged me to do it. Actually, as a result of that, I had 3 well-trained employees when I had a client come to me and look for an additional 2 placements full-time on my staff. I had those employees available. This was a very important thing for my company at the time, a very transitional thing for my company at the time. And now, actually, I have 38 employees that I employ. And I think this is the indicative and an example of the types of programs through the Workforce Board and, you know, in partnership with educational institutions like in our region, Lynn Community College. We see people that come out of those colleges that came from a very different story, a very difficult story. Several of those people work for my business now and are making a good wage, and they got the education they needed to succeed at those institutions. I'm very pleased to be working through the Workforce Board with those institutions and with flexible funds. With the reauthorization of WIOA, spending last week in D.C., a lot of what we saw is that they came with a lot of strings, a lot less flexible dollars. 75% of the education funds now have to be spent for out-of-school youth. A lot of the partnerships that we've done in Lynn County come with working with in-school youth, school kids that are still in high school that maybe didn't see the opportunity to go to community college. We've been able to work with those kids, keep them in school, keep them retained, and get them into jobs. So I know my green light came on a little bit late, so yes. I don't want to take more than my 2 minutes. But I'm the other side where a business has been able to work with these programs and has been able to see those people employed as a result. And I want to thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
Good morning, Co-Chair Monroe and Comp. My name is Bill Rochalt, and I'm the Project Manager for Eastern Oregon Workforce and Investment Corp. And I got involved in Workforce as a County Commissioner. I was on the Executive Committee of TOC, and I could see really soon that things were broken. The reason why they were broken is because the employers were not getting behind the programs. And so I was very excited when the opportunity came to break up TOC and make smaller job core areas. It's important for Eastern Oregon as we move forward to have the employers and the employees see that we mean business and want to see this thing work. I really feel that with some help from the state, we can make this work to the point that we can have more work available for employees of Eastern Oregon and help the employers do what they want to do best, and that serve their customers and get their product out there. Thank you.
Thank you.
Co-Chair Monroe, Co-Chair Comp, members of the committee. I'm Rusty Cochran, a manufacturing engineer from ARE Manufacturing located in Newburgh, Oregon. I'm here to speak to you today about the $31.9 million allocated for workforce investment. And I'm going to give my own personal experience with that, as well as ARE's experience with utilizing those funds over the past 4 years that I know of. So when I started work for ARE Manufacturing, I had been in manufacturing for 12 years, knew nothing about lean manufacturing. ARE saw the opportunity of investing in its workforce and training and development. Therefore, I went to on-the-job trainings for lean manufacturing. Through that learning of that process, I was able to implement those procedures in the department that I was tasked to manage, taking it from the most ineffective, inefficient department to the most effective and most efficient department at ARE. So the next part is the incumbent worker benefits that I've received. So we went through training for Lean Six Sigma, Green Belt training, and now I'm currently in Black Belt training. This process has been given me the opportunity to communicate to global companies in regard to their quality requirements and has benefited ARE. So we opened up our marketability through my training in this. The next one is the National NCRC training that we have. At ARE Manufacturing, we do a testing process for new hires based on shop math, tape measure reading, and mechanical reasoning. However, if somebody comes to us with this NCRC of silver or better, we will circumvent our own testing procedures and hire them on because of that certificate. Next, I would like to talk about my involvement in consortia for the Mid-Willamette Valley, the High Performance Consortia. ARE has participated in this for 9 years, and because of that, we've been able to share with what we've learned through training and opportunities and investments and help other companies see that within our area. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate all of you coming. Mr. Wilson.
Greg, Andy, and Peter. And then on deck, I believe, Justin Warren, Curtis Caver, and if he's here, Max Jensen.
Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Mr. Co-Chair, Madam Co-Chair, members, Greg Chamov, appearing today as Chair of the Board of Education of Clackamas Community College. I could regale you with the story of how Lynn Benton Community College was responsible for my obtaining my chosen career, but our role today is to show you the kind of training, the kind of jobs that are available to students if you can help to keep them in school. With me today is Andy Mingo of our Digital Media and Communications Department, also Peter Lund from the company Super Genius. Their goal today is to show you that unless you are the age of Representative Barton, the community college that you experienced is not the community college of today. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg. My name is Peter Lund. I'm the chief operating officer of a company called Super Genius. I also serve on the Clackamas County Economic Development Commission and the Clackamas County Workforce Investment Council Board. I went to school in Clackamas County. I've lived most of my life there, and in fact, our offices are just a couple of miles away from where I graduated from high school. At Super Genius, we're a game developer that helps other game developers. So we work with companies like Disney, Activision, Double Fine, and Telltale to produce some fantastic games. We have a highly skilled workforce of 2D artists, 3D animators, modelers, visual effects experts, and programmers, and I brought a short video to show you what we do, and I'm just going to play a couple of seconds and then submit the video as testimony. So you can take a little look.
Now, Skylander, when I give the signal, you head down to the turret and start firing away, all right?
You know the truth deep down, son, and I know you'll appreciate my words someday.
Uh-huh.
So in the interest of time, I'm going to keep going here. But you can see that basically our workforce exists at the intersection of artistic talent and technological developmental skill. It is very difficult for us to fill our workforce pipeline. Most of the educational options in this state are filled by the for-profit college market, which means that people go to a four-year institution and they're graduating with $60,000 to $80,000 in student loan debt. And yeah, I think I'm coming off of some of Greg's time too. Basically,
that's okay with me.
That's all right. So the community colleges have an amazing opportunity to fill this gap. We've been working with Clackamas Community College to develop a game development curriculum with Andy Mingo and the Media Development Program. Our employees and staffers are developing that curriculum and teaching those classes. We hope to, through these partnerships, offer affordable alternatives to the private education system that exists for us now. In fact, community colleges are leading the way in filling this important workforce gap for our industry. Thank you very much for your time and consideration. We certainly support increasing community college funding.
Co-Chair Monroe, Co-Chair Comp, members of the committee, my name is Andy Mingo. I'm the program director for the digital media program at Clackamas Community College. With a shift in our economy away from old core industries, it's essential that we grow sustainable industries to replace them. A good example of this growth is the shift from paper manufacturing at Blue Heron in Oregon City to creative class jobs focused on media creation through mid-sized media and game art studios such as Super Genius, who we just heard from. Beyond the numbers and proven growth of the film and media industry, we as educators must keep pace with a rapidly evolving technology. We are on the verge of a radical leap in media delivery that will be at the level of the previous transition from radio to television. Virtual reality, of which we have an example of a Oculus Rift, which is a VR device. Virtual reality is one of those technologies that drive this new technology, along with augmented reality, which is being developed right now with Microsoft's HoloLens. These devices will move media consumption from a passive activity into that of the current state. This isn't science fiction. This is today's technology driving the world forward. Unfortunately, our funding models for workforce development at community colleges are at a level that fund the bare minimum. We strive to keep pace with the needs of our industry, and we continue to see a lack of funding for qualified instructors and facilities. In the end, we are falling behind on our pledge to deliver the training that the film and media industry demands. Is this move to keep pace with ever-evolving technology expensive? Yes, it is. But digital media is a critical career and technical program that we can't afford not to invest in.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good to see you again.
Justin Warren, Curtis Caver, and if he's here, Max Jensen. And following them will be Angel Camacho, Francis Fagan, Nathan Puckmore, and Melissa Pyle.
Welcome.
All right, cool. Thank you. Thank you, Co-Chair Comp, Co-Chair Monroe, and members of the committee. My name is Justin Warren, and I'm a first-generation student at Central Oregon Community College and a member of the Oregon Student Association. I am testifying to you about the barriers that are placed on me due to the cost of education and loan services. You see, I chose to attend Central Oregon Community College because as a low-income college student, I am able to afford college through grants and working two jobs without having to take out loans so far. I'm close to completing my Associates of Oregon Art Transfer degree, and if I plan to continue on my path towards my career, I know I'm going to have to transfer to a university, obtain my bachelor degree, and be forced to take out tens of thousands of dollars in loans, and that's just something that doesn't make me feel confident continuing my education. With the rising price of tuition, I have witnessed firsthand both my friends and loved ones have to graduate with over an average of $27,000 worth in debt. I see them struggle monthly to try and make ends meet with their loan payments, and I refuse to take out loans and put myself in the same situation. With the current proposed $4 a credit increase on my campus, I know that next year I will be forced to either stop taking school or I'm going to have to put myself into an insurmountable amount of debt. I do not believe that I should have to choose between the life I aspire to and the life of debt that I will have to be taking in this free nation. That doesn't make sense to me. The idea of stopping my education and my aspirations due to financial insecurities worries me incredibly with the current economy and the need to have post-secondary education. I know my story is the story of hundreds of other students across the state that are being priced out of an education because of the rising costs. Our state needs to prioritize education and invest in students. Please take a necessary step in order to fund our community colleges in the at least of $560 million and our public universities at $755 million. Thank you.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Thank you, Co-Chair Comp, Co-Chair Moreau, and the members of the committee. My name is Curtis Cower, and I attend Central Oregon Community College as a first year. And I'm here with the OSA to urge you to increase funding for higher education. I've always grown up in a working class family here in Oregon, Central Oregon. And all my life I've been told in order for me to be successful in life, whether that be just going up the economic ladder or whatever, I would have to get a college degree. And due to the accelerated cost of tuition, I may not be able to go up the economic ladder or even be successful in that matter. And with the rising and accelerated cost, I've actually been forced to have a big possibility of dropping out within the next year or two. The first term I attended at Central Oregon Community College, I had a bunch of bills for classes, which is blocking me from continuing my college education. Now, my mom, the blood parent I live with, she agreed to help fund my education. Well, unfortunately, it almost led her to file for bankruptcy.
just so I could be successful and adequately support myself and my family. And I know my story isn't unique to the student experiences here in Oregon. Now, families across this great state are dealing with struggles such as this. And if we are promoting the idea that in order to be successful in this land of opportunity, you need to obtain that in order to, for this land of opportunity, you need to obtain a higher education in order to be successful, then why would we continue to force families like mine or anyone else's in this room into financial turmoil? Our state needs to reinvest in higher education, and that's why I support budgets of $560 million for community colleges and $755 million for public universities, and I encourage you to pass them on. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Welcome.
Hi, I'm Max Jensen. I'm starting my first year at the University of Oregon. I did 3 years at Lane Community College before this, and starting it as a junior. When I started Lane Community College, I was paying more money than I had expected for tuition. I had done a year in California, and it was $36 a credit, and now at LCC, it's $98 per credit for a quarter system, which is a lot of money for me. I was told going in that I would only be doing 1 year and then transfer into the University of Oregon's architecture program. I did the classes that my counselor had prescribed to me, and upon completing most of those, I went to another counselor, and they told me that I had to do another year, which I hadn't budgeted for. So I had to go out and get another job in order to pay for that second year so that I wouldn't become a burden on my family. Anyways, that proved difficult. So I had to, I learned very quickly that I had to cut back on my course load, so that I could pay for that course load. And that made a second year turn into a third year. So it's 3 years of community college where there was supposed to be one, at $98 per credit. Anyways, big issue there, and also the architecture program is 5 years, so that's 8 years of university and community college before I'm able to go out into the workforce in my chosen profession that would be able to pay for my needs, my family's needs. My parents are elderly. They're in their 70s, and they're, like, by the time I get out of college and start a family, I won't have the support systems necessary to be able to take care of them without use of, like, assisted living, which is expensive. And there's a little red thing there, sorry. My cousins were able to take care of our grandmother because they had children. I'm not going to be able to do that in that amount of time in a way that'll take care of my family. We need really, really need to be able to, make sure that community college, especially as a gateway into university and into better paying jobs, is accessible so that we have time to take care of, our families. It takes away our time. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. And some of us in our 70s don't consider ourselves elderly.
10 years.
It's okay.
The next group is Angel, Francis, Nathan, and Melissa. And on deck is Hannah Vandering, Jim Salt, and Lauren Zavril, or something like that. Apologize.
And welcome. Who wants to go first?
I will. Chairs Monroe and Comp, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Melissa Pyle, and I am a student at Portland Community College, specifically the Cascade campus. I came to PCC in 2013 without hope, without self-esteem, and with a huge amount of apprehension. See, I had done the community college thing before, and frankly, it just didn't work for me. And I even had a 1.04 GPA to prove it. I came to PCC as a last-ditch effort. At that point in my life, I was 23 years old and working customer service, and to be honest, I hated every minute of my job. To my surprise, I ended my first quarter at PCC by gaining a position on the honor roll, and since then, I haven't stopped. Today, I'm proud to say that I will be graduating this spring and transferring to Portland State University in the fall. PCC has transformed me into a proud, confident, and successful contributing member to my community. Most importantly, PCC has opened doors for me that I did not even know existed, and it has made me aware of the world in a much larger and more meaningful way. However, I want to stress that as a first-generation low-income student, I would not have been able to attend PCC without financial aid. My educational success really boils down to funding and affordability. Without funding and affordable tuition rates, I never would have been able to enroll at PCC, which would have resulted in never realizing my true potential. We need increased funding to continue to provide high-quality, affordable education so that everyone can reach their true potential. Thank you.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Co-chairs Monroe and Comp, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Frances Fagan, and I'm a sophomore at Portland Community College. When I enrolled in PCC in 2013, I tested in at a fifth-grade math level, and I thought the history of Western civilization would discuss the Midwest. Born in Hood River, Oregon, I was raised in a bohemian household that placed little value on formal education. When I decided to pursue my dreams in higher education, PCC accepted me despite my low high school GPA, and working and with grants and scholarships, I could afford the tuition. Most importantly, though, PCC has well-organized support services for non-traditional students such as myself. TRIO programs like Transitions and Roots teach study skills in a supportive cohort community and encourage students to pursue meaningful and productive careers. The Roots program gives one-on-one support for students who wish to transfer to four-year colleges. Coming from a culture where college was never discussed, this guidance has been profoundly meaningful to me. 2 years later, with the support of teachers, mentors, and staff, I'm an honors student at PCC. In the spring, I'm completing my capstone project, which focuses on organizational change in academic libraries. Next fall, I'm transferring to a private four-year university in the East Coast, where I've been accepted with a full tuition scholarship. Working with government and private agencies, I intend to have a meaningful and interesting career in organizational behavior and public policy. While my drive and ambition has certainly contributed to my success as a student, none of this would have been possible if I hadn't first been able to get through the door. Someone had to tell me yes. Like the hundreds of thousands of community college students in Oregon, access to higher education has profoundly transformed my life. And it's an honor to share my story with you today in our state capitol. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Yes, sir.
Co-chairs Morin and Co-chair Com. My name is Angel Camacho. I'm the director of Campus Affairs for Rock Creek Campus, which is student body president. Portland Community College was a great opportunity for me. It was affordable, and it still is affordable, but it's getting really hard. I work two jobs. I have three brothers and three sisters, and I also go full-time to school. Me and my brother, I was able to gain a lot of knowledge with business administration at Portland Community College, and we were able to open our own business. Portland Community College has helped me a lot by gaining leadership skills. And right now, I'm trying to help out my older brother, who's entering 25. He wasn't able to go to school because of affordability. We weren't able. As an undocumented student, I do not qualify for financial aid. There's scholarships out there for undocumented students, but since it's really hard to get those, I have not been awarded any of those. So right now, I've been paying out of pocket. Portland Community College has given me the affordability, and it's given me a lot of things like leadership skills. For me, it has been a great experience with Portland Community College, but it gets hard every time tuition goes up. So I'm here to ask you guys to support state funding for community college. Thank you.
Hi, Chairs Monroe and Comp, members of the committee for the record. My name is Nathan Packmeyer, and I'm a first-generation full-time student at Portland Community College. I work in student leadership. I am a member of Phi Theta Kappa Honor Society, and I would like to share my personal story with you. I really didn't have much direction in my life when I was growing up. I dropped out of high school, and I got my GED when I was 20. at the Cascade campus of Portland Community College. I ended up getting into using drugs a lot, and when I was 20, I ended up getting in a car accident on Highway 26, and three people were injured pretty badly, and I did 9 years in prison. As you can imagine, there wasn't much opportunity for growth in prison. The only thing I really learned was how to stick up for myself using violence. After I got out of prison, I immediately rolled in classes in PCC and got hired with the ASPCC Student Leadership Program. I gained real skills. I developed my leadership abilities, and I made personal and professional connections. If it wasn't for PCC and ASPCC, I, without a doubt, would have ended up back in prison. I learned so much more in my 2 years at PCC than I would ever learn from 9 years in prison. And I wonder if higher education was given more funding, more opportunities maybe could be created for more people, and less people might need to be incarcerated to begin with. The Oregon Department of Corrections is asking for a budget increase of $183 million, but community colleges just need $15 to $25 million more than what it looks like was already approved. Money that should be taken from them and put back where it belongs in higher education. I was lucky. You know, I got a lot of financial aid and student loans because I had been in prison for so long that my credit was good again. And I had no income to report over the last 9 years. I was able to qualify for Pell Grants and Oregon Opportunity Grants. I got a loan and a couple of scholarships. You know, I live with my parents. I'm having to use some of my student loan money to pay for prison or post-prison supervision fees and my restitution, which is $554,000. So, I mean, you know, what's another student loan? You know, but, you know, I get these opportunities and other people don't. Not all who better themselves are afforded them, you know, and I would just like everyone here to consider that your decisions made here directly affect the success of so many community college students. Specifically at Portland Community College, the average student's age is 32 years old.
Please wrap up.
And thank you very much. We appreciate your input and appreciate your tenacity in keeping at it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you for having us.
Next, Mr. Wilson.
Hannah, Jim Salt, and Lauren. And on deck are Sue March, or Mark Macker, Matt Smith, and Rick Palmer.
Good morning. Co-Chairs Monroe and Comp. For the record, my name is Hannah Vandering, and I'm president of the Oregon Education Association, and we represent 42,000 amazing educators, including community college faculty and staff across the state. I want to start by thanking and acknowledging the Ways and Means co-chairs and this committee for setting the floor for funding at $535 million. But I think we all can acknowledge that that is not going to restore the cuts that have happened within our community colleges over the last decade. I believe we can all say with confidence that investing in community college is a great investment for all. I can't tell the stories any better than what the students have told this morning. Their hopes and dreams, their realities, the things that are getting in their way of being successful in Oregon. As leaders, we've made decisions. This body, the legislature, has adopted 40-40-20. We've set high expectations for education in Oregon, for our students, and for the educators. And yet we continue to underfund and not supply the supports and resources that are necessary for those very individuals to be successful. We have to invest in those things that matter for Oregonians. Community college is a gateway. It provides a GED, it proves a two-year certificate or degree. It starts you on the way to a four-year degree that can help you be successful in life. As legislators, as we look at the choices that you're making over the next few months about funding for education, we hope that you will truly look at community college and higher ed and make the investment that it's going to move us forward. Our community college students need you. Oregonians need you. The future of our economy needs us to invest in community college. Thank you for what you do, and please please fund at least $550 million to provide the opportunity for all Oregonians to be successful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, good morning. My name is James Salt. I serve as president of the Oregon Educational Association Community College Council, which represents approximately 3,500 faculty and staff members across the state at 10 colleges. I also serve as president of the Faculty Association at Lane Community College, where I teach sociology. Before I share my remarks, I wanted to thank the students that came here this morning. I have no illusions that my testimony will be as nearly as powerful as theirs is. They are the future of our state, and they demonstrated very well this morning why we need to fund community colleges. We're here today to ask the legislature to provide adequate funding for Oregon's community colleges in the next biennium, and specifically to provide at least $550 million, although frankly that's not enough. It doesn't begin to get us back to what we would need to the funds that we had in 2007-09 biennium when controls for inflation. We would need about $600 million for that. But it does get us about halfway there from where we are currently, and it gives us the ability to plan and move forward. As you know very well, Oregon's community colleges serve many vital functions and interests in our state, providing hundreds of thousands of often first-generation and minority transfer students a solid education in small classes taught by faculty focusing on their students' needs, developmental education for tens of thousands of students needing to strengthen their skills so they can succeed both in college courses and in the workplace. We have continuing education classes for our communities. And, of course, we have career technical programs that play a vital role in preparing students for family wage jobs and for providing employers the skilled workforces that build our economy. One need not be a sociologist to know that education is the cornerstone of a vibrant and growing economy and healthy democracy. States and countries that invest in education see far more economic growth and lower rates of poverty than those that don't. And yet, Oregon is ranked 48th. In the country in terms of the contributions to higher education. So instead we pass our burden onto students and onto our staff, increasingly moving our faculty into part-time assignments where they try to eke out an existence. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
My name is Lauren Zavrell, and I am the part-time faculty president at Clackamas Community College, where I teach GED in the Clackamas County Jail. The common denominators for all of my students, almost all of my students, both in jail and on campus, are one, poverty, and two, the genuine desire to transcend poverty. As one of my students recently said about what she hopes to get from college, don't help me out, help me up. Higher education is the only means for we as a state and society to meet this standard, because education is the only true ladder out of poverty. When I get on my soapbox about the importance of college, my incarcerated students understand. They don't need another lecture about why college is so important. But it is the lack of affordability, hands down, that stops even the most bright and capable students from enrolling. How can we expect these Oregonians to invest in a quality education when our government won't? Jessica was released from jail on Friday, and she starts classes on campus tonight. I invited Jessica because this legislator needs to see who I mean when I refer to those adult and first-generation community college students who want and need a hand up to a better life. These are the students who are most impacted by tuition increases. While Jessica is a rare exception, she represents the students who will follow suit with Oregon and financially prioritize education 48th on their list because the high cost says college is not really for them. How you fund community colleges does and will continue to send the most impactful message to low and middle income Oregonians who aspire to be something more than what they are. The more you fund community colleges, the more normal and less extraordinary it becomes for the Jessicas to attend, and the stronger you demonstrate your advocacy for a diverse workforce, for true equal opportunity, and for the acquisition of the American dream. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome, all of you.
So, Mr. Wilson. Sue, Matt Smith, and Rick Palmer. And on deck will be Jeff Greider, Ira Erbs, Heidi Edwards, and David Reeves.
Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Sue Mock. I'm the chair of the English department at Clackamas Community College, and I'm speaking today in support of a $500 million budget for community colleges. 6 years ago in 2009, our department had an enrollment of 6,489 students. We taught 298 sections and employed 14 full-time instructors. Here is a list of our department's recent accomplishments. We completely redesigned our developmental education curriculum and program learning outcomes to comply with state mandates. We've been working with the math department to construct new placement testing procedures so that students are more accurately placed in their courses. We created a successful faculty-driven writing center that conducted 2,165 tutoring sessions last year, 42% more than the 1,530 sessions held the previous year. And last but not least, we're pioneering a new AS degree that centers on the art of storytelling and includes four focus areas: literature, creative writing, publishing, and comics. All of the programs I just mentioned have been implemented since 2009. During this time, we've continued to teach foundational classes while our enrollment has increased to 6,502, and the number of sections we teach has also increased to 334. What has diminished is the size of our full-time faculty. This fall, we employed only 8.5 full-time instructors. We are very tired. At the start of every term, I ask the students in my writing courses to answer this question. Describe either your greatest fear or your greatest wish and explain how this fear or wish defines you. I receive answers like the following, things that you've heard from students here. I wish to stop living in my car. I've been sober for 7 months and I'm afraid to start drinking. A direct cup for just 2 days ago. I suffer from depression and PTSD. Waking up each morning is hard, especially when I have the weight of past failures on my shoulders. I want to be here in school, but I'm frightened that my financial aid won't be given back to me. I've been teaching at Clackamas for almost 20 years. I've seen policies and promises come and go. What keeps me motivated is the courage of my students. Just yesterday, I wrote a letter of recommendation to a graduate school for a veteran who wanted to kill himself when I first met him. It takes a lot of time and energy to offer support and encouragement and curriculum to people who are in the process of critical life transformation. As the number of our students in my classes and increases, in addition to my workload, I'm in constant fear that I will let someone slip through the cracks. Our students need our support. Our students need your support, as well as the support of counselors, financial aid advisors, and a whole host of other people to help them navigate the system. Please fund community colleges at the highest level possible. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Rick Palmer. I'm the Human Resource Manager for CellMet Incorporated down in Albany, Oregon. CellMet has a long relationship and has had a long relationship with Lynn Benton Community College, which spans almost 20 years. LBCC supplies resources to CellMet, which we would not otherwise have, given the size of our company. LBCC has shown an openness and a willingness to help local businesses in our community. For CellMet, LBCC has embraced the need for a manufacturing curriculum that will satisfy our need for workforce development in the non-destructive testing, welding, mechatronics, and engineering disciplines. Specialized training has been developed at LBCC, where our current employees can receive annual training to enhance their leadership skills and strategic thinking. Most recently, LBCC has been a key member of our local workforce development committee through the Albany Chamber of Commerce. This committee has brought LBCC, local high schools, and industry together to address needs for the trained workforce in our community within the next 5 to 10 years. The commitment of President Hammond and his staff that they have made in this effort has been instrumental in our community and has built relationships between the colleges and local businesses. The ability for CellMet to meet the growth in our industry hinges on the relationships and support that LBCC provides to our community and future workforce. CellMet certainly supports the local community colleges, and we are asking that you also do that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Matt Smith. I'm the president of L&M Industrial Fabrication in Tangent, Oregon. We are a steel fabricator serving the commercial and industrial markets in the Pacific Northwest and beyond, and employ just under 70 living wage jobs. One of our primary challenges as we continue to serve our markets and grow is to find and retain highly skilled, highly productive employees. This has become a very daunting challenge for us, and fundamentally we're down to the choices of either hiring our competitors' employees or trying to find a mechanism to train internally. The alternative that we found to that over the years that has worked for us is to utilize the resources of the community college system, which we believe is an exceptionally effective mechanism to train and develop young talent. Our experience with them, again, as Rick spoke, has been over many years. We believe that their primary opportunity or their primary advantage to us is their ability to reach out into the business community and address their real needs, and then custom tailor diverse, deep training programs in order to meet those needs. I believe that the community college system offers an exceptional opportunity to its students, as well as a great value to the business community. I would ask that you continue to support the community college system, and in fact, I would ask that you expand the funding of the technical programs in order to fuel the growth in our systems. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Mr. Wilson.
Jeff, Ira, Heidi, and David. And then, time permitting, the next group will be Jeremy Rogers and Ken Thrasher. I know that the Senate has an important bill up at this morning, so we may lose some members.
Yeah, that'll probably be it. Okay, who wants to go first?
Good morning. Thank you for your service to the people of the state. My name is Jeff Greider. I've been involved with PCC for over 15 years now. I'm a public safety officer. I'm the vice president of our local union. I'm also a vice president at large for AFT Oregon, American Federation of Teachers. Last time I checked, over 80% of the Portland metro population has ties to PCC. I'd like to think PCC is way better than the rest, but the truth is all 17 community colleges are a very important part of their community. The cost of tuition is a concern. Tuition keeps going up, and it is a burden and a barrier to students. I see students prioritizing education over other basic needs, living in the woods, living in their car. What I don't see are all the students who don't make it, who leave college because of the cost. The disinvestment of state funds is even more of a concern. I'm embarrassed by the fact that Oregon is one of the bottom five in the nation in terms of higher education funding. There are only three or four states that fund higher education at a lower rate than us. Furthermore, the burden is more and more on the students. It used to be that the majority of the PCC budget came from state funding. Now the majority comes from students, from tuition. What does less money mean? Less money means less resources on campus. As an officer, I find myself relying more and more on services within the college, since community support services funding has also gone down. I specialize in electronic access control and physical and electronic security. Less money means less security. If we're honestly working towards the goals of 40-40-20, we need more, not less, money from the state.
Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Heidi Edwards. I am the Executive Vice President for our Portland Community College Faculty Federation and Academic Professionals, also representing AFT Oregon. I also serve as an Outreach and Orientation Coordinator at the Rock Creek campus. I'm here to ask that you invest and fund our community college with at least $550 million for the 15-17 biennium. Oregon community colleges are the first responders in higher education. As first responders, we rely on strong funding, just as our exceptional local firefighters, paramedics, and police officers do. The same exceptional first responders that we train at our community colleges. Community colleges are first responders in educating Oregonians through GEDs, high school completion, high school dual credit, career technical education, short-term certificates, two-year degrees, and university transfer options, a lot that we do. Not only do we educate, but we are also key contributors to industry, business development, and job creation in our local communities and the state of Oregon. As you know, our state disinvestment in community colleges and higher education over the past decade has led to higher tuition. Our students have spoken eloquently about that, and unfortunately are suffering the consequences of this disinvestment. As first responders, we in education, we are failing. My campus recently eliminated our child care services for students. So we now have students who have dropped out because they don't have child care, and we have students who are leaving young children at home. Community college students often go without purchasing textbooks. Some also go without paying rent. Some go without food. Can you imagine being successful in your college coursework without food and nourishment? or the stress of knowing you might be evicted, or having not having the textbook necessary to be successful in class. The continual disinvestment in community colleges has led to a reduction in the number of staff and faculty. I work in student services and have for the last 14 years. We struggle to have enough academic advisors, counselors, and critical support services for our students. So again, I ask that you fund community college at least $550 million. Thank you.
You're on.
I'd like to say good morning to the committee. For the record, my name is Ira Erbs. I am a member of AFT Oregon at Portland Community College. I teach career information service, computer information services there. I also happen to be a full-time high school career technical ed instructor. I'm here today to talk to you about our role of community colleges. I think I have a unique viewpoint because of my experiences as a high school teacher and an adjunct professor. Additionally, I have two sons attending Portland State University. My younger son got his high school diploma at Portland Community College and attended there for a year. Community colleges play a critical role in making post-high school education available to many of our recent high school grads, laid-off professionals, and others seeking to update their job skills in education. Many universities have endowments to support their campuses. Community colleges do not. We rely on your support to provide quality education to hundreds of thousands of our fellow Oregonians. When I attended community college, I paid $5 per class. Today, it costs up to $500 for a course. Many students are unable to graduate in 2 years because there are not enough sections or required classes for them to take, or the cost of community college is still too high for them. We are asking for the support in providing at least $550 million for community college campuses. Our economy is recovering. The demand for educated and trained workers is also improving. The future of our state is dependent on the continued expansion of our economy and the ability to provide educated workers for our employers. Companies are able to move out of town or out of state in search of workers and institutions of higher education that can provide the skills they're looking for. Please vote for the future of our children and our state, and I thank you very much for your time.
Good morning, Chairs Comp and Monroe. I'm David Reeves, President of American Federation of Teachers, Oregon. I'll be quick. You've already heard some great testimony, compelling testimony from young adults, older adults, minority students, ex-convicts, business people, about the value that community colleges offer them. And I think sometimes this is short-changed community colleges, to be honest. It offers an incredible value. And because of that, sometimes Ways and Means sees a lot of choices, a lot of interest, a lot of areas to fund. Sometimes I think this has short-changed community colleges because they can get by. And I think what you're hearing today is not getting by, but really excelling. And for a very modest increase in terms of the entire state budget, we're talking a very modest increase here. If you talk to other people in education when we're talking about the 40-40-20 goals, that middle 40 is the one with the biggest gap, the one we have to make the most increase on, and also one that they will say that community colleges are probably the best bang for the buck, that a modest increase in community colleges will move the lever there. So we're asking you today to make that modest investment, and I think you'll see another 2 years, these business people, these struggling students will come back to you and will tell you what that's done for them. More full-time faculty, more counselors, more support, frankly, that a lot of these students really do need in their lives and their families to get by. So that's what we're asking today. A very modest increase will really help jumpstart this economy and make a huge difference in the lives of your students and businesses. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And our last panel, Mr. Wilson.
Will be Jeremy Rogers, Ken Thrasher, and Loretta Smith. Go ahead.
Co-chairs, Senator Monroe, members of the committee, thank you. I'll be very brief. This is Jeremy Rogers with the Oregon Business Council, and we are here to support both the increase in the community college budget, but also the investment in the Center for Community Innovation and the Community Investment Fund, and I'm going to turn it over to Ken Thrasher to talk more about that. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeremy, and good morning, co-chairs Comp and Monroe and committee members. My name is Ken Thrasher. I'm a senior director on the Oregon Business Council and on the Poverty Task Force for the Oregon Business Council. And, you know, I'm here today because I really believe in this investment that we're talking about for the Center for Community Innovation and Community Leverage Fund. This $25 million is not unlike investments we make in startup companies and early-stage companies in Oregon today who have to have this capital to create these tremendous outcomes and programs that you heard today from Central Oregon and Southern Oregon and other places that are going on to improve their communities to address the issues of poverty. At the Oregon Business Council, we're addressing on 7 key strategies, and this fund and this innovation is one of those key strategies, because with 25% of poverty in many of our small communities, these funds go out to 11 economic development regions, and those regions will each get $2 million over the biennium. Those funds will help those regions because they're primarily rural Oregon, where we need to invest and start to connect the strategies from our health strategies, our early childhood strategies, and our college access and economic development strategies. So I think by us investing in these communities and the work you heard about today, those early stage developments, and these new things that are going on, some in Malheur County, for instance, that are going on around career technical education, that are going on in Klamath tribes and Chilicon communities, and some post-secondary efforts are going to be tremendous investments. And the bottom line is, when we look at the payback tomorrow, after we invest, we will see the improvement in individual capital that will start to reduce poverty and break the cycle of poverty. It'll prepare our workforce better for tomorrow. And most importantly, I think, for our state, it'll reduce the social costs that we're putting so many dollars in today that need to be turned around by investing in these communities. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Ken. Loretta? Last but not least.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Madam Chairman, for having me and for squeezing me in. My name is Loretta Smith, and I am a Multnomah County Commissioner from Portland, Oregon, and I am here to urge you to support the $15 million for the workforce dollars for summer jobs. The reason why this is so important for me, one of the places that I got my first start and my first job was in high school. And if any of you know about the CETA program, then I feel real comfortable here. Do you all know what CETA is? JTPA? Okay, then I know that we're about the same age if you do know about CETA. It was the old JTPA money, which is now the WIO money, the workforce money. It costs about $3,000, $3,300 to support a kid who is in our summer program called Summer Works. We partner with Work Systems, and Work Systems, they pay one-third of the $3,000. The county, we use our general fund money to pay for this. There was no summer job program before I got to the county in 2011. I started a program with 25 kids. The next year, doubled it to 50. The next year, doubled that to 100. Last year, we did 125. This year, I'm going to be asking for a whopping additional 125 kids. So we'll have 250 kids with summer jobs. And as I told the group last year, I've never seen a kid doing a drive-by on their way to work. If we have opportunities for kids so that we can build them for success for the future, we'll be able to deal with the high unemployment rates of our young people from 16 to 24. A very disturbing statistic about the 16 to 24 is that African-American men, 88% of them between 16 and 24 are unemployed. Now, this is just egregious. Our program, we work to make sure that we have low-income, underserved kids in our program. And as you know, poverty has moved out towards the east in Multnomah County. We need to be able to give these kids opportunities. And lastly, Mr. Chairman, we place these 125 kids in different departments at Multnomah County and in nonprofits that support Multnomah County. So I would urge you all to please support the $15 million. This is new money. This will be a new opportunity for you to give a kid their first job around the state. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And I'd like to thank everybody. We will have hopefully another opportunity later for people that didn't get a chance to testify. We're working hard on these budgets. We're holding our fingers on the May forecast, whether there'll be additional money there or whatever. And so I believe every member of this panel would like to do better than the 535 that the co-chairs have recommended in community college budget. I certainly want to add some dollars to that. Anything else? Thank you very much, and we're adjourned. Doug, thanks a lot. Yep.